Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked off Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of the Omid. However, before we begin the shiur, a brief announcement, and that is that Mirza Hashem, God willing, we are going to continue with Maseches Erevin, that of course follows Maseches Shabbos, and it is our strong recommendation that all of you that are planning to continue with our shiurim will get a hold of a wonderful illustrated sefer, a book of illustrations that is absolutely essential for a true and clear understanding of Maseches Eruvin. The name of the sefer is Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. On the market, there, in fact, are other illustrations that are available, other editions of the Shas that have illustrations and diagrams printed in them. They are also quite praiseworthy and worthwhile, though with regard to our Shiurim, we will probably be making constant reference to the diagrams in this particular Sefer, the Pirush Chai, possibly by diagram number and page number, so it will make matters all the easier to follow along if you have that sefer, the Pirush Chai. That having been said, hopefully giving everyone enough time to get a hold of the sefer, being that we're still a couple of daf from the end of Maseches Shabbos, but Emir Tzashem, we will repeat this announcement as we get closer. We continue now with our Gemara, today's Daf Kuf Nun Beis, second line from the top. As you may notice, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the Pasuk reference appears and we have a diamond around it. This is a continued marking scheme that we have been following since the last Daf, where Psukim from Sefer Koheles will be darshaned. These psukim in Perek Yud Beis deal with old age as a person encroaches upon his ultimate demise. The psukim are descriptive, using analogies, and it's for us to interpret the analogies made in the pasuk to something of a tangible nature. So now we continue. Bayom sheyazu'u shomrei habayis v'his avsu v'chulei. The Gemara will break down this pasuk into its parts. Bayom sheyazu'u shomrei habayis. Elu, this is a reference to haksalim v'hatzlos, the body parts that are associated with the side of a person, his ribs. V'his avsu anshei hechoyel. Elu shokayim. This is a reference to the thighs. So the pasuk it says makes reference to the Yazu Shomrei Habayis is the day that the Shomrei Habayis are the guards of the house being the person's body. Shiyazu are they tremble, they are moved out of place. So a reference to the body, the sides of the body, and the ribs that protect the organs is referred to here, and this afsu anshechol, his afsu has to do with something becoming contorted. They are the thighs. The anshechol, the reference to warriors, is made with regard to the legs of a person, being that the legs support with strength the person's body. Uvaklu atochanos. The grinders cease to operate. Elu shinayim, the teeth, which is fairly obvious. V'choshchu haroiz barubos, that which sees through the windows or the skylights is darkened. Elu einayim, the eyes lose their sight. Omar le kesar b'shua ben Hananya. The Caesar, the Caesar, the Roman emperor, turns to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya and asks, "My time alo asis le Bei Avidon. Why is it that we don't see you showing up at Bei Avidon?" Bei Avidon, we've learned about earlier in this Masechta. You can see we have a note to the side, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Omen Aleph. This was a phenomenon or an institution that seemed to have continued over many years. It was a place of religious debates. We'll say theological issues were thrashed out in this locale, in this Bei Avidon, this place. And Rashi points out, Mokem ha'osu lisvakech sham tzidukin ubaitusim im Yisrael b'mikros. Rashi's making reference to Tzedukin and Baitusin. These are castes of Jews that left the traditional fold and denied the oral tradition, denied what we associate with the Talmud, and thereby had a corrupted form of Judaism. What's interesting here is that the Caesar, who is a Roman emperor, the Caesar, is turning to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. Either he sat there and watched these debates between the rabbis, the traditionalists, and these Tzedukin and Baitusim groups that departed, or there's really a reference to something else, and it could be a reference to early Christianity, which is something that would coincide with this historical period. So the Caesar asks, why don't you show up over there? Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Hananya in a picturesque fashion describes his old age, and that's and the difficulty, the limited mobility that poses to him. So Omar Lei Tur is a mountain, Teleg is snow, a mountain of snow, Saharuni Glidin. Saharuni is surrounded me with ice, Glidin is a reference to ice, but Rashi points out that this is a reference to my head is white, that's the mountain that is snow white, my head is white, white hair, and around my face, my mustache and beard are also white, indicating advanced age. Kalbohi lo navkin, literally, my dogs don't bark, but it means my voice isn't heard anymore. Tachnohi lo tochanin, and my grinders aren't grinding, my teeth are not operating anymore. All characteristic of advanced age. Bei Rav Amri, in the yeshiva, it was said, a type of riddle, Adalo Avigna Bachishna. Rashi says on this expression, Achar ma shelo ovad mimeni ani mifashfesh. I seek out that which I haven't even lost. Merov zikna ani holech shachuach, because of my age, I walk bent over, umenanea, and shuffle along. The nearer kemisha mevakish dinar nevado. It looks like someone's looking for a lost coin. If you're looking for a lost coin on the floor, so you're bent over. But this expression is a reference to an elderly person, how he shuffles along, giving the impression that he's always looking for something. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi bar Kisma Oimer, Tova tre mitlas, another riddle that we have to unravel. He says, better is two than three. Vai lo lechado di ozlo velo asion. Woe unto the one that goes and doesn't come back. My he, what is that? So Amrav Chista Yankusa, youth. Let's go. If we go over what he said, is that better is two than three. Two is a person who's able to walk on two legs in his youth, as opposed to three is a reference to a person that needs a walking stick to lean on as he walks along, and that's is a reference to old age. So better is youthfulness in terms of physicality, that's for sure, than elderliness. And the end, as we saw already, the Gemara asked what was the one thing that goes and doesn't come back, and that we saw was Yankusa, youthfulness. He also, Rav Dimi Omar, Yankusa Klula Devarda, he parallels, Rav Dimi parallels youth to a crown of Varda, of roses, a flower, something beautiful. Savusa, elderliness, Klila Dechilfa, is a crown of thorns. Tana Mishmei de Rebbe Meir. It was taught in the name of Rebbe Meir, Dok Bekochi Vetishkach Benigri. If we look at Rashi, Dok Benigri is to be careful or make sure. Dok has to do with eating something, with chewing on something. And Rashi says, Echol Harbe, eat a lot, Vetimso Achila Vipsiosecha. And you'll find your food and its results in your steps. Shechaze kechecha. Dok, the word dok, kemo ochlo midake loshen koseis. And here we're not advocating simply to be a glutton, but that food and body movement are interrelated. So by eating, you'll have strength in order to move around. So if we just go over that phrase again, is dok is to do with chewing or eating, bekochi, with your teeth, v'tishkach, and you'll find the results, benigri, in your steps. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'nispa lechem v'aniyya toivim v'ro lo ro'inu. Well, the pasuk indicates that one will be satisfied from his bread, and we will be good, and we won't see bad. Omalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shinana is an expression meaning sharp one or wise one. Shmuel turns to his student, Rav Yehuda, and says, wise one. Shori sakech v'ayil lachmech. Shori is to open up sakech, literally your sack, but it means you're, in this case, open your mouth. And ayil, enter lachmoch, your bread shall enter. In other words, eat bread. Ad arbo en shonin michlo mali. Until age 40, one ought to emphasize solid food as his diet. Mikan v'elich, beyond 40, mishti mali, drinking is more beneficial. We have an incident that lasts a number of lines, and we indicate that with our long marking, in this case the Maisa, that you can see to the side of the Gemara. And on the side, we've indicated that that's the topic at hand. The Nos says, a Maisa b'Rav Yeshua ben Korcha v'Hatziduki, a confrontation between Rabbi Shua ben Kocha and the Tzeduki we saw before are people that deviated from the traditional path of Judaism. It could be a reference, though we won't say with certainty, but it could be a reference to the early Christian groups that coincided with this time period in the Talmud. In this case, the Tzeduki featured here is a sterile male, a saurus, and as such, his we'll say body characteristics appear different than that of a standard developed mature male. Amalei hahu goizal, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The goizal is the saurus. Male who hasn't developed properly, and he happens to be a tzeduki, and we want to emphasize that he is a skeptic, a non-believer, or what have you. And he says to Rav Yehuda ben Korcha, mehocha lekarchino kama havi, and he attempts here to insult, to deride Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha apparently was a bald individual, and he says, this tzeduki, this non-believer, says to Rabbi Shimon Korcha, from here to Baldville, how far is it? Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha answers tit for tat. He says, Kimehacha legozanya. It's like from here to Eunuchville. Amalei tzeduki. So the tzeduki says back, Barcha karcha be'arboa. Barcha is a goat. Karcha means, as we saw before, bald. The term baldness in the context of a goat is that relative to a sheep that's laden with hair, with wool, the goat has mere thinner coat to what thin goat hairs. So, relatively speaking, it's referred to here as bald. So the Tzaddiki says a bald goat costs 4. There are probably references in this give and take to things of a much deeper nature. But he says a bald goat is worth only 4. Amarle, so Rabbi Yeshua says back, Ikra Shlifa Betanya, a sterilized sheep is worth 8. Chazia Delo Sie Mesane. The Tzaddiki noticed that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha was without shoes. Amarle, the Tzaddiki goes on to say, he makes 3 points, we'll say, and then culminating with a 4th insult. The Al Sus Melech, he says that one who has a horse for his transportation is a king. The Al Chamor Ben Chorin, one who rides a donkey, is a free man. Udimin Oli Birugloi Bar Inish, and a person who has shoes on his feet is a man. The Loha Veloha, one who has not this nor that, the Chofi Vekovir Tov Minei, better for him would be to be buried in a grave. Chofir is dug out and Kovir buried. Tov Mine is better than him, better than someone without shoes. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yeshua responds, Goizo Goizo, Talas Amr Sli, Talas Shamis. So he says, you, Soros, you said the 3 points to me. I want you now to listen to 3 points. Hadras Ponim Zokon. The glory of a person's face is his beard. And as we mentioned before, the Soros is a male that hasn't developed properly, so he doesn't have male characteristics, and he hence lacks a beard. Simchas Lev Isha, a joy of the heart is a woman. And as in his state, so he was incapable of wedding a woman. And Nachlas Hashem Bonim, and the inheritance of the Almighty are sons. And of course he was impotent to being in a sterile state. Baruch HaMokom Shemonacha Mikulam. The Rav Shur Ben Korcha says, blessed be the Almighty. HaMokom is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemonacha, that has restrained you or withheld from you all of these 3 points. The glory, the glorified face, the beard, the woman, and children. Omar Le, Karcha Mitsuyona. The Tzaddiki says to him, you cantankerous bald man. Omar Le, Ikra Shlifa Toichacha. The Rashi says, toward the Rashi occupies both columns. So we're looking at the inner column of Rashi on the right hand side of the Omid toward the bottom. He says, Korcha Mitzyona, Ato HaKireach, Bimrivo, Ato Bosi Modi. You bald man, you've come to argue with me, says the Tzaddiki to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Omar lo, Rabbi Yeshua, Ikra Shlifa Toichacha, Ato HaSoris, Lahakniteni Uzvakeach Imi Bosa. You came to start an argument with me. At this point, you can see that particular harsh interchange comes to its conclusion. We offered basically a fairly literal translation of what took place, but as we indicated before, there's probably more depth to this than, of course, this simplistic story. Amale Rebbe L'Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, Mitnei ma lo hikbalnu ponecho beregel kederech shikbilu avosai lavosecha. Rebbe is addressing Reb Shimon Chalafta. The Gemara in Bava Metzia points out that Rebbe, though he was the Nossi, he was the head of the Jewish people of his time, he was a man of humility as well. He was an Onav. And he speaks to Reb Shimon here in, when we'll say in almost in a euphemistic form, where in simple terms, Rebbe is saying to Reb Shimon, why didn't you come to me during the holiday? But grammatically, it's it's presented as if the question is on himself. In other words, why weren't we, meaning himself, Rebbe, why didn't I merit receiving your presence as your forebears came to my forebears? Rebbe being a descendant of the house of the Nasi, the leaders. And the practice was that on holidays, the other people would go and greet the head, the Nasi. So Rebbe is asking Rebbe Shimon ben Chalafta, why didn't we see you this year on the Yom Tov? Amalein, so Rebbe Shimon Chalafta describes old age and the difficulty that poses with regard to mobility. Amalei sloyim nasu voyim, the rocks have become tall. In other words, small pebbles, small hills are difficult for me to walk over. Kroivim nasu rechoikim, that which is nearby is for me like far away. Mishtayim nasu shalosh, from two has become three. In other words, I used to be able to walk on two legs, now I need a stick, symbolic of a third leg. Mesim shalom bebayis botel. This expression is a reference to the ability to conduct intimacy with one's spouse. It's described here as mesim shalom, that which is the source of peace in one's house. The ability to conduct conjugal relations is a source of peace and serenity within the context of a married couple, and so that botel means it has ceased. The pasuk continues. We're continuing with Koheles Yudbeis, as you can see, we've highlighted that on the side. The sugru delosayim bashuk. Literally, the doors of the marketplace have closed. Elu nekovov shel adam. The term nekovov is associated with the body orifices, primarily in this case, the channels of waste elimination. And the pasuk is saying that they're closed, like the doors of the market are closed. B'shval kul hatachana, b'shvil kurkivon sheinu tochein, the pasuk is describing the digestive process. The kurkivon is one of the organs you find in a bird, organ of digestion, that's not grinding the food. But the point is that because of the inability to digest, to chew and grind and digest food properly, so the whole digestive and elimination apparatus is not operating. V'yokoyim l'kol ha-tzipor, shafilu tzipor menarosim ishnasla. A person who is elderly often is bothered by even the slightest noises. In this case, even a bird, a minaroso, awakens him, mishinoso, from his slumber. V'yishachu kol benois hashir, shafilu kol shorim v'shorois, even the voices of male and female singers, Doimos olav keshucha, appeared to him like a whisper. We continue with a section of Gemara where we have numbers, and they represent three approaches to Barzilai HaGiladi. Barzilai HaGiladi was a Tanakh figure who lived at the time of David HaMelech, and it says here in the Gemara of Af Barzilai HaGiladi, Omar LeDavid ben Shmoinim Shono Nochi Hayom Ha'eda Ben Toiv L'ra. He says, I'm 80 years old today. Can I distinguish between the positive and the negative? Mikan, from here we see, Shedai Oison Shel Zekenim Mishtanos, that the thinking of an elderly person changes. That's a more or less a literal translation, but that is what's reflected in the pasuk by Barzilai HaGiladi. Im yitam avdecho es asher ochal ves asher eshteh. This is Barzilai continuing and says, do you think I have any taste ability of that which I eat or drink. Mikan she sif sosehen shel zikenim misraptos. From here we see that the lips of the elderly, misraptos literally means they crack. Im eshma oid beku shorim v'shoros. Again, he continues in this pasuk from Shmuel Beis Perek Yutes. He says, can I still hear the sounds of singers? Mikan shel zneim shel zkenim miskabdos. From here we see that hearing of the elderly becomes more difficult, as we say, hard of hearing. Omar Rav Barzilia Hagildoi Shakrahave. Rav challenges what Barzilai testified about himself, or more accurately, not about himself, but Barzilai's comment about old age as resulting in the inability to think, to be to taste, to perceive different tastes, and hearing impairment. So Rav says Barzilai is a liar. Shakra Have. Why does Rav say that? Tahi Amso the Avya Bey Rebbe Bastishin Vitartin Shonin Vavistamo Kidra. There was a maidservant in the house of Rebbe. She was 92 years old, and she was the food taster over there, showing that she still had keen abilities. Rava Omar. Now, we've called Rava number 3. It's a third comment, but it appears that Rava is explaining, giving more background to what Rav said. Rava says, Barzilai Hagilodi Shotif Bezimahave. Barzilai was a person who engaged in a great deal of intimacy. Shotu Bezima literally would have to do with someone who was a very immoral individual. But the Gemara here says, V'chola Shotu Bezima Zikna Kefetzitzel, of one who is like that, one who is immoral, very loose in his sexual practices, is susceptible to early zikna, old age. In other words, the characteristics of old age will come much earlier upon a person who behaves in this loose moral fashion. And that's why his senses were dulled. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Talmid Chachomim, Kozman Shemazkinim, Chochma Nisvases Bohem. Torah scholars, as they advance in age, wisdom increases. This is in stark contrast to some of the things we were mentioning before about general old age. Not so is the case with Torah sages. Shenema, the pasuk says, "B'yishishim chokhma ve'orech yomim tevuna." That with regard to the elderly, there is wisdom, and long life, there is understanding. This is a pasuk in Iov, Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Yudbeis. V'amei ha'oretz kozman shemazkinim, the ignorant ones, people who throughout their lives did not engage in the pursuit of Torah study, the older they get, tipshusness vaseses, and foolishness increases in them. Shenemar meisir sofa l'ne'emonim v'tam zikenim yikach. This also is a pasuk in Iov, Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Chof, which is describing old people as not having wisdom. So in order to resolve these two psukim, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi tells us that there is no contradiction. There are, when it comes to Torah sages in their old age, they have increased wisdom, and ignoramuses in their old age have the opposite. We continue with a pasuk in Koheles, Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Hey, Gam Migovoa Yirou. The word yira'u means fear. Shafilu gavshushis ketan, even a small gavshushis, a small mound, doime lov kehore horim, appears like a great mountain, literally a mountain of mountains. The pasuk continues, v'chas chatim baderech, which Gemara explains, b'sho shemahalich baderech, as they are walking along, as an old person walks along, nasu loy toyim, it becomes a source of fear for him. The Rashi points out, tohim, pachadim. Pachadim are fear. the pasuk says, v'yonetz hashoked. The pasuk is describing zu kliboisis. This is the coccyx, which is the lower part, the lower extremity of the spine, becomes swollen. V'stabel hechogov, elu agovois. This is a reference to the rump of an individual, becomes heavy. The sofer ho'aviona, zu chemda. Chemda is desire, we'll call it the opposite gender desire, becomes weakened. Rav Kahana have a posik sidro kameh derav. Rav Kahana was learning psukim of Tanakh in the presence of Rav. Ki mota lahai kro, when Rav Kahana arrived at this posuk, we're again focusing on Kehelas Perikud Beis, when he got to this posuk, which we just read, Nogid Vesnach Rav sighed and grunted. Omar Shma Mino bota lechem de Rav. So Rav Kahana, who was a fairly forward individual, as we learned toward the end of Maseches Brochos, Daf Samach Beis, one can look there for further detail. So Rav Kahana said it like it is. He says it seems that that Rav's desire for intimacy has ceased. He was simply reacting to Rav's audible reaction to the Pasuk, the Sofer HaAviyona. Omar Rav Kahana, Mai Dichtiv Ki U Omar Vayehi. This is a Pasuk that will be broken down. Zu Ha'ish Zu Isha. This is a reference to the woman. Hutsiva V'yamod Elu Bonim. We take a look at the Rashi. Zu Isha Im Lo. Before actually we read the Rashi, just the Pasuk itself, Kihu Omar Vayeh means, is a reference to the creation, in effect. He said, the Almighty said, and Vayeh, and it became. And the Drasha is, it's a reference to the woman, that means that through the woman there is creation in the world, there's reproduction, and newness comes to be. Rashi, on this piece of Gemara, makes reference to that which we are about to see in the Gemara text itself. So what we should do is go on in the Gemara before we make reference to the Rashi. Tona, Isha, the woman, Chemas Meloy Tsoya, she is like a jug full of dung, Ufiha Mole Dam, and her mouth is full of blood, Valkol Rotsin Acharea, and everyone still runs after her. This is a very basic description of a human being, not just a woman, but in this case we're looking at it from the aspect, from let's say the man, a male aspect, and his pursuit of a woman. And it's, you can see that you actually have a divine element that is responsible for the attraction that women cause on the part of men. In other words, that men are attracted to women is something that one can understand only if you accept the divine intervention aspect of things, because otherwise a person, a body, a human being is full of dung, full of waste. After a person eats and churns up all his food, it goes through the digestive tract. Without being overly descriptive, one can imagine what it looks like and especially smells like. And in the case of a woman, there's a monthly cycle whereby a fair amount of blood is released on an ongoing basis. So you have blood and dung that is contained within the body of a woman. You would think that that would repel a man from wanting to join with her, And yet, v'akol rotzen acher, everyone pursues her. So now we take a look at Rashi. Zu isha. Rashi, as we said earlier, was in both columns. This is now in the outside column toward the end. Zu isha im lo al pi gzeras amelech, if not for the rule of the king, means the will of the Almighty, lo hoiseruyu l'savos la. She wouldn't be fit to be the goal of a man's desire and lust. Shehi kechemas mleya mius. She's like a jug full of that which is repelling and disgusting. V'akol rotzim achra, and even so, everyone runs after her. And that's what the pasuk was saying. Ki hu amar vayeh. He said, the Almighty ordained and ruled thusly. Hu tziva v'yamod, and he commanded, and that there will be that which comes forth, that which will stand, and that's a reference to the children that are the product of procreation. And so that when one thinks about things on a deeper level, one sees that called mankind and his lustful desires and all that represents are heavenly ordained. In fact, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that when it comes to what's called the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, one has to know how to deal with it. One subdue it, but not eradicate it. And because if one concentrates too much, let's say, on what's being described over here, a person could end up becoming celibate and have actually mind over matter conquer the Yetzer to the extent that he will no longer have any desire for the woman. So, and if that happens, then there will be no more procreation, and as the Gemara says, you won't be able to find a fresh egg in the marketplace. Let's continue in our Gemara. Ki holech adam el beis olamoi. Again, we're back to Koheles, Perek Yud Beis. We have triangles that introduce a number of statements of Rav Yitzchak, a number of memros of Rav Yitzchak, that are featured in this context. So, Omar Rav Yitzchak, after we read the Pasuk, Ki Holech Ha'odam El Beis Olamo, person goes to his ultimate place, his place of resting. Amr Bizu Malamit, she called Sadik Vit Sadik, Nesin al Modu Lufi Chvodo. This pasuk says a person goes to his world that indicates something of his personal nature. Every righteous person is given a dwelling, Modor, a dwelling, Lufi Chvodo, according to the honor due to him. Moshe Lamelech, the analogy here is to a king, Shenich Nesuv Avodov, Leir. He with his servants enter a city. Kshei nichnasim kulon b'shar echad nichnasim. Everyone enters the same gate, the main gate. And the analogy is to the idea that everyone dies the same way, more or less. However, kshei lonin, when they go to rest, when they go to sleep, and we're continuing with our analogy of the king and his servants. Kol echav echav noisun lo modor lefi chvodo. The king gets the royal suite, and the viceroy gets something a bit less, and the common servant gets something even less than that. Everyone gets the place that's fit for them. The Omar Rav Yitzchak, my dichtiv ki hayalus v'shachrus hevel. What does that mean? Devarim shadim oise b'yalduso. The things that a person does in his youth, and Rashi is blunt or more clear, and he says roiv tashmish. A person who engages in a lot of intimacy, mashchirin ponov li'eis ziknoso. This causes literally a blackening of his face, but Rashi says a weakening of a person toward his old age. In other words, there's a relationship between the amount of tashmish, of intimacy, that a person engages in and the strength that he keeps, that he maintains in his advanced years. The Omer of Yitzchak, Kosher Rima Lemeis Kemachad Bivsar Hachai. Rima is decomposition and body decay. The the pain. Kosha means something that's difficult, but it's a reference here to the pain experienced by the deceased in the decay process is as painful as a needle piercing b'besar hachai, live flesh. Shinemar, the pasuk says, ach b'saro olav yichav. Now, if you'll permit me just a moment of personal observation or editorializing, this statement, when many people look at it, would say it's figurative. What do you mean? The guy is dead. How can he feel anything? It's a corpse. You can attach all kinds of electrodes, and you'll see what they call a flat line. So what do you mean he feels the pain? So and with approaching it like that, one will then conclude that this is something figurative. On the other hand, there may be room for advancing a theory, and this is, as I said before, this is of a strictly personal nature, so you can take it or leave it. But think about it. If several hundred years ago people would have claimed that there are voices in the atmosphere, places like the northeast of the United States would have prosecuted such people as witches and warlocks and sentenced them to the stake. What do you mean, voices in the air? He must be a witch. But years later, a gentleman by the name of Marconi came along and invented a device that we relate to today as the radio. And so with this technological advancement and the invention of a new device, we in fact are able to reveal that there are voices in the air. In the course of time, technology and inventions end up revealing phenomena that were previously not known or not accepted or what have you. It could very well be that today's technology, in fact, does not reveal that which the deceased experience. And in the course of time, there may very well be technology that reveals that even though the standard body functions have ceased, there nevertheless is some experience, a pain experience that takes place. As I said, this is strictly personal, and only reason we're saying it is that one, if one ponders these things, it can help a person, approach life and that which is beyond in a more serious fashion. So, that having been said, the Chazal tell us, at least on the superficial level, and it could be it could very well be on a very realistic level, that the decay process is very painful. Omar Rav Chisda, Nafshe Shel Adam Misabelus Alav Kol Shiva, the nefesh, the spirit of a person, which is understood to depart the body at the point of death, this nefesh mourns over the death all 7 days. What we call Shiva. Shiva really means seven. Shenemar v'nafshoyolov te'evol. The pasuk says that very point. Uksiv v'yas lo'aviv evel shivas yomim. And the pasuk describes the mourning period of 7 days, so that the reason we're citing this second pasuk Avel is in order to understand the phrase of previously cited on this line. V'nafsho olav te'evol. Te'evol means mourning, but for how long is te'evol? So we see in this pasuk that the mourning was made for his father for 7 days. So Avelus is 7 days, giving rise to Rav Chisda's observation that the spirit of a person mourns over the bereavement, his own bereavement, for 7 days. Omar Rav Yehuda, Meis She'en Lo Menachemin, a person that dies and has no comforters. This could very well be a description of a person that dies leaving no near relatives. who would ordinarily observe the Shiva period. So a person like that, Hochin Asar B'nei Adam V'yoshimim M'komo. So 10 people will gather together and sit where the person died. We'll say a type of artificial or replacement Shiva observation, Shiva observing. Halu d'shachiv shivusei d'Rav Yehuda. Mind you, Rav Yehuda was the author of this halacha, and in fact, there was a person that died b'shivusei in the neighborhood of Rav Yehuda, lo hoyu lo menachmen, and he had no comforters. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Koyoma havedabor Rav Yehuda be'asor v'yasi b'duchte. Every day, for 7 days, Rav Yehuda dabor is to lead a group, to gather a group of 10 people. V'yasvi, and they sat b'duchte in his place. La'achashiv yomim, after 7 days, is chazi lei b'chilmed Rav Yehuda. The deceased appeared in a dream of Rav Yehuda. The Omar lei, the deceased said, tanuach daitcho she'inacht es dati. You should have inner peace and inner comfort because you caused me comfort. Omer Rabbi Avo, kol she'omim b'fnei hames yodea ad she'istam hagolel. All that which is said in the presence of the dead, of the deceased, the dead is aware until the closing of the grave. Pligibo Rabbi Chiyov, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, Chad Omar Ad She'istam HaGolel. One opinion is the awareness of the dead concerning that which they're saying about him is until the sealing of the grave. The Chad Omar Ad She'isakel HaBosar. That awareness continues until the decay process sets in. The opinion that referred to until the flesh is consumed, dichtiv, is based on the pasuk ach besoro olav yichav v'nafsho olav toval. Rashi says at the top, v'nafsho olav toval calls man sheyesh lo basar, as long as there is flesh, yesh lo lanefesh tzad chius lahavin. The spirit has the ability to understand and perceive, and in this case, perceive that which is going on here in this world. Mandomar Achistam Hagolel, the opinion that says that this awareness lasts only until the sealing of the grave, Dechtiv, V'yoshov He'afor Al Oretz Kishahoya. And Rashi says, V'yoshov He'afor Gufo Korui Ofor, the body is called Ofor, dirt. Mi sheshav el haaretz kishoyah, when it returns to the ground as it was, meaning the body and the formation of man was originally made from earth, and when it returns to the earth, miyad v'ruach tashuv, means she'ein bo ruach od, it has no longer any spirit. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and before we go through the source, which we want to point out the topic heading and the structural note that accompanies this. So on the side, under our nosei, we have Moshel Shel Habegodim Nishmosen Shel Tzadikim Rishoyim. We're going to see a moshel, an analogy made to clothing with regard to the souls of the pious and the wicked. A bow tie marking appears here to draw your attention to the Moshel Lamelech Basar V'dam, or Moshel Lamelech that you see here, and on the facing Omer on Kuf Nun Gimel Omer Aleph, another Moshel appears using the king as the basis of the analogy. The source begins, V'ruach Toshuv El Hu'alokim Asher Nisona. Again, Psukim from Koheles. And the it's pointed out that there, this pasuk seems to be of an extra nature, because just before we saw V'yoshov he'ofor el aretz kishahoya, and the spirit goes back to Hashem that gave it. So as we said, Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Asher nisona kro yisiru lidrash. and the extra pasuk, the Asher Nisana, is being darshan that he gave it to darshan. Have a zoyer, be careful. Shitashivenu a love kemosh nostaloch nekiyabli avon. Give back to the Almighty the spirit the way he gave it to you. The Gemara continues in the source, Tino lo kemo shenosna loch b'tahara, af ato b'tahara. The spirit that the Almighty gave to you in pureness, you be careful to give it back to him while pure. Mashal lamelech basar v'dam. The abbreviation is basar v'dam, a analogy to a human king of basar, flesh and blood. She cholak bigdei malchus lavodov, that distributed royal garments to his servants. Pichin shebohen, the wise ones amongst the servants, kiplum v'nichum bekufsa, they accepted these royal garments from the king, folded them up and placed them for safekeeping in a kufsa, in a box. Tipshin shebehem, the fools amongst them, holchu v'osu ben malocha, they clothed themselves, they donned the clothing and went out to pursue their various forms of work. A while passed, and the king requested the return of the kalev, of the garments. The wise ones amongst them returned them as they were. Meguhatzim means literally, or in modern Hebrew, the term meguhatzim is a reference to pressed clothing, clean and nice in the way they were originally presented to them. Tifshin shebohem ichzirim lo kshein luchlochin. The fools amongst them returned the royal garments, but now soiled. Soma hamelech likras pichu v'kos likras tifshin. The king was happy upon his encounter, his greeting of the wise ones, and was enraged upon greeting the fools. Al pichun omar, regarding the wise ones, he said, yinosnu Kelai laotzer v'hem yechu lebotem l'shalom. Let the garments be given to the otzer, placed back in storage, and they, the wise ones, shall go to their homes in peace. The al tipshin omar, regarding the fools, the king says, Kelai yinosnu l'koyves, let my clothing be given to the washman, v'hem yizchavshu v'esu asurim, and they shall be incarcerated. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similarly, the Almighty, Al Gufan Shel Tzadikim, regarding the bodies of the righteous. And before going further, you can see in this source how an analogy is drawn between the clothing of the king and the bodies of a person. The clothing are the outer coating of, in the case of a living person, so the clothing cover something of a more inner nature, the body. It, with regard to the Almighty, the body that he provides us with is the form of clothing. It covers something of a more inner spiritual nature, which we call the soul or the spirit. So, with regard to our bodies, it's obvious that when we look at human behavior, it's the body that is the, we'll call it the initial or direct beneficiary of all kinds of pleasures, many of which are quite undesirable pleasures, undesirable from a Torah spiritual standpoint. So a person has to care for himself. So regarding the righteous that cared for themselves, that took care of the clothing, in this case the body, al gufan shel tzedikim omer yovoi shalom yonuchu al mishkevoisam, they shall come in peace and lie on their ultimate beds. The al nishmoson hu omer, regarding the souls of the righteous, it says v'hoisa nefesh adonit tzurah b'tzorah chayim. The soul is bound in the binding of life, something of a very positive and lofty nature. Al gufan shel rishoyim hu omer, regarding the bodies of the wicked, it says, Ein shaloim omar Hashem lo rishoyim. This is in stark contrast to the pasuk quoted just a couple lines before of Yavo Shalom, and here it says Ein Shalom. There is no peace. Regarding the souls of the wicked, it says V'es nefesh oyvecha yikaleno besoch kaf hakela, and the soul shall be swirled around in the kaf hakela type of device, in which in warfare it's sometimes referred to as a slingshot, but it's a strip of leather in which a stone was placed and was twirled around until enough velocity was achieved, and then it would be hurled in the direction of one's enemy or opponent. So too the souls of the wicked are described in this fashion. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Nishmason shel tzadikim genuzas tachas kisei hakavod. The souls of the pious are stored, are kept for safekeeping under the heavenly throne. Shenemar voisa nefesh adonit tzuror b'tzor achayim es Hashem Elokecha. And the idea of S means together with S Hashem Elokecha, together with the Almighty on His throne, or in this case under His throne. V'shel Rishoyim Zomimos V'holchos. The souls of the wicked are bound up and go. Umalach echod oimed b'sof olam. One angel stands at one end of the world, and another at the other end. Umekalin nishmosan zelazeh, and hurl the souls of the wicked one to the other. Shnemar v'snefesh oivecho yikaleno b'soich kaf akela. As we saw this pasuk just before, a description of the soul never coming to rest, but in constant state of torture, if you will, of movement. Omar le Rabo le Rav Nachman, shel beinonim mai. Until now, we've focused on the righteous and the wicked. What about those people in the middle, the beinonim? Omar le iko shachivna lo amri luchu hai milsa. If I would have died, so I wouldn't have been able to tell you the following. Omar Shmuel, Eilu v'Eilu ledu ma nimsaren. The wicked and the beinonim are given over to Duma. Duma, Rashi points out, is the name of an angel that is in charge of the ruchos, of the spirits. Halalu yeshlo manuach, the beinonim are at a state of rest. Halalu ein lohen manuach, the wicked are not b'menucha. Omar Rav Mori, Asidim Sadikim Davu Afro. In the future, the righteous will turn to dust. Dichtiv v'yashov ha'afar al ha'aretz k'shehoya. This serves as an introduction to an incident, a maise. And you can see we have a long maise marking to the side of the Gemara. And we also have a topic heading on the side under our Nosei heading, where we've written Asidim Sadikim Davu Afra. In the future, Tzadikim will turn to dust. Umaise b'choifrim shenif gishu im gufasa shervachoy Rabbi Yoshia. We're going to see an incident where diggers encounter the body of the deceased Rav Achoy. And we'll also see an incident involving Rabbi Avo Ubalas Oiv, an encounter between Rabbi Avo and a Balas Ov, a type of witch, a woman engaging in witchcraft, which deals with the raising of the dead. So now, as that's only by way of introduction, we continue in the Gemara. Hano kfuloi. Kfuloi are diggers. Davu kafli barad Rav Nachman. They were digging on the property of Rav Nachman. Nohar Bahu Rav Achoy Bar Yoshia. Rav Achoy was buried there, and deceased Rav Achoy grunted. Osuv Yomu Leil Rav Nachman. The diggers came running to Rav Nachman and telling him, Nohar Bon Gavra. There was a man that grunted at us. Of course, a reference to Rav Ahoy, who was subsurface. Also, the Amalei Rav Nachman came to the man, or the buried individual, Mani Humar, and asked, "Who are you?" Amalei, Ano Ahoy Bar Osh Yoshio. My name is Ahoy, the son of Yoshio. Amalei, V'lav Omer Rav Mori Asid Tzadiki Davu Afro. How could this be that you're intact? Is it not so that Rav Mori taught that the Tzadikim will become dirt? And when Rav Mori said that, he was basing himself on a pasuk in Koheles. Omar Le, so Rav Ahoy says, Umonu Mori Deloya Danale. Who's this Mori that you're quoting? I don't know him. Meaning, I don't take what he says seriously. Omar Le, so Rav Nachman says back, V'hok Kroksiv, Yoshev Ephraal Arz Kishoya. He was citing a pasuk. He wasn't saying something on his own. He was citing a pasuk in Koheles, and we should have noted a moment before, but you'll notice a lot of squiggle underlining taking place. This is in order to simply keep track of the give and take style of the Gemara, so you can see who this. You can see the change in speaker each time. So Rav Nachman, as we just said, says that you might not appreciate who Rav Mori is, but he was citing a pasuk. Omale, so Rav Ahoy says back, Da'akrich Koheles La'akrich Mishle. Whoever taught you Koheles didn't teach you Mishle. Dichtiv Verekev Atzomo is Kino. Kol Shiesh Lo Kino. The pasuk that says Verekev Atzomo is Kino tells us that he who has in him the attribute of jealousy, Kol Mi Shiesh Lo Kino Belibo, Atzmoisev Markivin. So his bones rot. Kol She'ein Lo Kino Belibo. Anyone who is not a jealous type individual, Ein Atzmoisev Markivin. So he doesn't experience decay. Gashishay, he felt him. In other words, Rav Nachman felt in the ground. Chazitus Bei Mashoshin, he realized, he saw that there was substance, there was a body there. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, Lekum Mor Legavei Debesa, why not get up and go home? Lekum is to get up, Legavei means in, to go in, Lebesa, into your house. Omalei, so Rav Ahoy says, Golis Adaitoch Dafilu Nevi Lo Koris. Not only did you not see the other psukim in the ksuvim. Ksuvim is the third section of the Tanakh, Turnavim Ksuvim. We saw before Rav Ahoy saying to Rav Nachman, whoever taught you Koheles didn't teach you Mishle. These were two books comprising the ksuvim, what we call the writings. So now Rav Nachman, after suggesting why don't you go home, that evinces the reaction of Rav Ahoy, declaring you haven't even learned, you've revealed your ignorance even of the book of prophets. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vidatem ki ani Hashem befischi es kivroseichem." The continuation of this is on the side of the Gemara, "Vahalosi eschem mikivroseichem ami," and from this we learn that the deceased have no right to get up and go back home until the Almighty declares such, until the Almighty commands rise from your graves. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responds, V'oksiv ki ofrato vel ofer toshuv. Does the pasuk not say that you are to turn to dust? And it seems to me, if you haven't turned to dust, so then you're not really dead, so why don't you go home? Omalei, so Rav Ahoy says, Hahu, this pasuk of returning to dust is Shah Achas Kodem Tchias HaMesim, a moment, a brief moment before the resurrection of the dead. So everyone, even those that were tzaddikim and did not have jealousy, will turn to dust. Omalei, Hahu Tziduki, the Rabbi Avo, the Tziduki, the skeptic, says to Rabbi Avo, you claim that the souls of the righteous are stored under the heavenly throne. Uba Tamyov, this is the Baal Oiv that we mentioned before. This is the necromancer. Hecha aske l'Shmuel benegida. How was the Baal Ov able to raise Shmuel from the dead? Benegida is through witchcraft. It's called machshefus. Omale, hosam. So Ravo answers the tzeduki and says, hosam b'sof shnei moser chodesh havet. That was within 12 months of the initial demise. The sanya kol yud beis chodesh gufo kai v'nishmosi olu v'yoredes. All 12 months, the first 12 months, the body remains intact and the soul goes up and goes and descends. La'achar yud beis chodesh haguf bakel. After 12 months, the body ceases. And we continue at the top of Kuf Nun Gimel. V'nishmosoi oyle v'shuv eino yoredes. The soul rises and no longer descends. So with that, we understand how the Baal Es Oiv was able to operate with regard to bringing Shmuel, raising him from the dead, so to speak. Truth be told, that when one looks into the parsha in the Novi that deals with the Baal Ov and Shaul HaMelech's encounter with Shmuel, there's a great deal more to say on the topic, but as we've said many times in the course of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir, we're presenting things as they appear superficially in the Gemara. But it is obligatory upon us to mention from time to time that these matters are of a much deeper nature, worthy of a great deal more investigation. Omar Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. So Rav Yehuda said, it says in the name of Rav, Me haspeidoi shel odom nikar im ben oilom habo hu im lav. From the eulogy said over the deceased, one can identify the departed as whether or not he is worthy of being worthy of the world to come. Rashi at the top says, "Iben olam habahu im sheim kosher hoya." If the person who was who died was a kosher person, a worthy individual, hakol beichon olav umaridim demos umesaprin shvachu, everyone will cry over them, shed a tear, and speak a praise of him. The Gemara asks, "Is that really so? That the eulogy and the surrounding reactions are truly revealing. Is that so? V'omar le Rav, and here we dashed underline Rav because we're actually asking on the comment made in the name of Rav that we just heard from the following, where Rav says to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. In fact, Rav Yehuda, who was the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, quoted the first comment, and we're now asking, but Rav Yehuda's father, namely Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, quoted Rav as follows, that Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Ochem b'hespeido da'osem ko'imno. Ochem means heat up the eulogy, make it good, because I am standing there. Rashi says, Ochem b'hespeido da'osem ko'imno, b'sh'as misosi his ames b'es b'chili, sh'ishamu v'ichnu rachmei, make it a real good, moving, tear-jerking speech for all those present, so that they should burst out in sobs. The Hosam Kim Rashi says, "Bishas Hesped, I'm there," says Rav, even though I'm in a coffin, I'm there. The Eshma Ech Tischamim, and I'll hear how they get heated up. Almo Itzdrich L'Rav Lazuri Aspeda. It seems from here that Rav has to encourage Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas to make it a good one. The Kev on the Rav Gavra Rabo Ben Olam Habo. Since Rav was a very great man and certainly worthy of the world to come, Lama Leilazure, why would Rav have to push Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas the way he did? Ha Omar Mehespedu Nikar. It wasn't it just said that you can see just from the ordinary reaction automatically who the person was. So that if the person that died was kosher, so people on their own would burst out in tears without any need to develop some type of very mourning, some very moving eulogy. Lo kashya, there really is no difficulty here. Ha de mechamu levi ochim, ha de mechamu levi lo ochim. What was said originally in the name of Rav, that from the eulogy you can see whether a person is worthy or not. In all cases, the eulogizer has to try to make it a good one, as they say, to warm things up, to whatever add whatever choice words or statements or sounds, intonations, whatever is necessary to arouse the emotions of those assembled. But the point of difference is that you can have two eulogies, both of which have the same amount of we'll call emotional input. However, the emotional reaction might very well be different. And that is what is the basis of determining who is a Ben Olam Haba or not. After all the efforts are put in, what results do they produce? So if you see a situation where a dramatic eulogy is made and the people remain somewhat indifferent, so that's an indication that the deceased is not the most worthy individual. However, in the event that you see a eulogy with emotion that is effective in bringing out the flow of tears and emotion, then that's a sign that the deceased, in fact, is a worthy individual. Omar le Abaye le Rabo. Kagon mor. Abaye says to Rabo, Rabo was Abaye's teacher, and he addresses him with the respectful title of mor. He says, Kagon, someone like yourself, desanu le kulu bubudisoi, that the entire Pupadisan population, Rabba was the rabbinic leader of Pupadisa, they all hate you. Mon ochim hespeda, who is going to react during the eulogy for in your death? In other words, we saw just before that that it's important that there be, we'll say, a desirable effect from the eulogy that's given. In your case, the townspeople of Pupadisa had very negative feelings toward Rabba. Rashi adds, very simply because Rabba used to chastise them. And the Gemara says in Hulin that the people of Pupadisa were not the most pious of individuals, to put matters lightly. They were engaged in a great deal of trickery and thievery. And Rabba did what a proper rabbi is supposed to do, and to chastise the population that needs such. Well, that also is not always accepted with great welcome. So Abaye was asking Rabba, who's going to be mournful during the analogy given for you? Omalei, so Rabba says, Mistaya at the Rabba bar Rav Chanan. It's enough. Mistaya means it's enough that you and Rabba bar Rav Chanan will be there and cry during the hesped given for me. Bo minei Rebbe Lozer mirav ezu ben oilam haba. Rebbe Lozer asks of Rav, who is the one worthy of the world to come? Omale, you notice that we have triangles that highlight the Rav and Rabbi Chanina who address this particular question. So Rav says, V'oznecho tishmane dover me'acharecho le'mor ze haderech l'chu bo ki sa'aminu v'chi sas me'ilu. we take a look at the Rashi was across from here. Vyaznecha tishmana dover meacharecha leimor zeh derech lechuba meacharei mitoscha kishetomus. Following the coffin, when a person dies, tishma kishiyomru zeh derech sholach zeh ba zeh lechu ba. If you hear people saying that the path that this man followed, you too should follow. Muftach shehu ben olam haba. And that many of us are quite familiar with when attending a funeral, and it is said that this person lived a life that we should all take a lesson from him or her and follow them, their life, they're having lived left a legacy that we should all follow. This is a sign, a clear sign, that person is will merit a portion in the world to come. The Gemara continues, Rav Chanina Omar Kol Shedas Rabosenu Noche Heimenu, or Kol Shedas Rabosov Noche Heimenu, a person whose teachers were pleased with. Such a person is a Ben Olam Haba. V'sovavu Bashuk Hasovdim. Again, noting a pasuk from Keheles, B'nei Galila Amri Asei Dvarim Lifnei Mitoscha. Live a life, do things that they should say during a person's eulogy. Rashi says, "Asei dvarim shiyomru lifnei mitoscha behespeidecha." Bnei Yehuda, people from the Yehuda region, as opposed to the Bnei Galila, which were people from the Galilee, the northern region of Israel. So, Bnei Yehuda from the southern region, Amri, "Asei dvarim liachar mitoscha." Very, very similar, but the change in with regard to Bnei Yehuda is they say la'achar. You notice the dashed underlining where Bnei Galila said lifnei, and they say la'achar. But no pligi, there is no argument per se between the Bnei Galil and Bnei Yehuda. Mor ki asrei. Each one is reflecting the minig, the practice in their places, that when a eulogy was given, so in some cases the eulogizer would be standing in front of the coffin, that would be lifnei mitoscha, and sometimes in back of the coffin, and that would be la'achar mitoscha. But in both cases, the pasuk is exhorting mankind to live a life sort of like an investment for the time that eventually he will die, and proper things will be said about them during their eulogy. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source, and the topic that we've assigned to this section is Shuv Yoim Echod Lifnei Misoscha. A person should repent one day before he dies. And we'll also see the idea of B'chol Esyu B'godecha Levonim as a result of the need to repent one day before a person dies. A person should care for himself that at all times his clothing are white. And we'll see more about that as we go on. Tanan Hasam, Reb Lazar Omer, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misasva. Do penitence one day before your death. So the students ask Reb Elazar, does a person know which day he's going to die so that he can plan that the day before that he shall repent? Of course, a person doesn't know when he's going to die. Amar lahen, so Reb Elazar says, v'chol sheken yashuv hayom. So all the more so, do penitence today. Shemo yomus l'machar v'nimsa koyom av v'tshuva. Maybe tomorrow he will die, and with that, so that all his days from the time, namely today, he decides to do penitence, and all his life was lived out in tshuva, in repentance. The Av Shlomo Omar b'chokhmaso. Likewise, Shlomo said in his wisdom, b'chol eis yu b'godecho levonim v'shemen al roshcho al yechsar, that at all times your clothing should be white and clean, and oil from upon your heads should not be lacking. This pasuk will now be explained with an analogy. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Moshol lemelech. Now this bow tie marking we featured earlier in today's shiur, the analogy to a king, Shezimen es avodav l'suda. He invited his servants to a meal, v'lo kava lohem zman, but didn't mention, didn't establish a time. Pikhin Shemayim, the wise ones, Kishtu as Atzmon, they literally decorated themselves, they adorned themselves, they clothed themselves. V'yoshvu al Pesach Beis HaMelech, and they sat by the king's, by the entrance to the king's palace. Omru, they said, Klum Choser Lamela Beis HaMelech, is there anything lacking in the king's house? In other words, the king, with all his wealth, has a meal prepared at all times. There's no need to really wait for things to get ready when it comes to the king's house. And if he invited us for a meal, it could mean that from the point of invitation till the actual entrance is a matter of moments. Tikshin Shebohen, the fools amongst them, Hochu Malachton, they went out to their work, they went out to their common ways. Amru Klum Yesh Suda below Torah, can a meal possibly be prepared without an investment of trouble, of expenditure of time and efforts? And so there's, if he invited us to a meal, it's going to take a while till it gets ready. So in the meantime, we can go out and do whatever we want. But Pesom Bikeshamel Chesavodav, and all of a sudden, immediately after the invitation, very shortly after the invitation, the king sought out his servants, meaning come in. So the wise ones amongst them entered while they were all dressed up and adorned. And the fools entered all dirty. The king was happy to greet the wise ones and was enraged with regard to the fools. Omar, the king then said, those that decorated themselves, that clothed themselves, that got themselves all ready for the meal, shall sit down, eat, and drink. Enjoy. Those that didn't get themselves ready shall stand there and watch. The son-in-law of Rabbi Meir, in the name of his father-in-law, Rabbi Meir, said, those that are standing there also appear to be part of the scene, part present as servants, and that's not particularly, it's not particularly embarrassing. Rather, this second suggestion says that both groups, the Pikhin and the Tipshin, will be seated there. Halolu Oichlin Balolu Re'evim. Those that were the Pikhin will be eating, and the others will remain famished. Halolu Shoysin Balot Smeim. These will drink, and they and the others will be thirsty. Shinemar Lochen Koyamar Hashem. Hine avoda yochelu v'atem tirovu. Hine avoda yishtu v'atem titzmo. Hine avoda yoronu mituv lev v'atem titzaku mikeiv lev. In this pasuk, what we just described is featured. Here are my servants. There are those that will eat and those that will be famished. There are those that will drink and those that will be thirsty. There are those that will be joyful and of high spirits, and there are those that will be screaming out of pain. And as we saw before, then we should just like note with our markings, the first approach where our number one was circled, just a few lines up, we had dot underlined the word Ya'amdu, and where number two had been circled, the second approach had the term Yoshrin with the dot underlining. The Rashi says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Omdin Veroin. The Rabbi Meir, which was the second approach, said there won't be those standing and watching. Shim Kenaf Heim Hoyu Nirim Minakruim. They would appear also to be amongst the invitees. Ule Shamesh, and there to serve. Shekein Derech Hameshorsim Omdin. That's the way of the servants to stand. Ein Kan Busha. There's no element of embarrassment. And we're trying to describe a situation where the tipshim, the fools, or the rishoyim will be embarrassed as a form of punishment. So therefore, the second approach came. He came up with the second approach, where the fools will be seated as well. However, they will be suffering. We continue in the source at the end of the source. Tovar Acher b'cholais yu b'gadecha levanim. The pasuk that was featured earlier is darshened a second way here. That elu tzitzis. This is a reference to tzitzis, which is the reference to the white clothing. It could be the whiteness is also part of the tzitzis themselves, in that the tzitzis had white strings in them. And v'shemen al roshcho al yechsar, the oil should not depart from your head. Elu tefillin. That's a reference to the tefillin, which are worn in addition to the one on the arm, on one's head. And Rashi elaborates a little bit. Elu tefillin shehem shame mishemen tov. The pasuk says tov shame mishemen tov. Better is a name than good oil. So in the pasuk of tov shame, the mishemen tov is a, this is a reference to the tefillin dichtivu u kol ame haretz ki shame Hashem nikra lecha. The Tana Reb Lozer Agadol Omer Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. When the Tefillin Shebarosh have the Shem Hashem in them, so that the Shem is Mikra Olecha is visible, is called out by those that see the person wearing his tefillin, and hence this pasuk that says V'Shemen Al Rosh Chal Yechsar. The Shemen is a reference to the pasuk that says Tov Shem Mishemen Tovin. In that pasuk, you saw the word shame associated with the tefillin shel rosh, so that it's sort of like the name of the shemen being the tefillin, and the shame is the shame Hashem that's part of the tefillin shall be on your head. So that this pasuk is referring to, as we saw, the tzitzis and the tefillin. With that, we finish the 23rd perek of Masechus Shabbos, perek Shoel, and we conclude our shiur for today.